Hey, you just don't wake up becoming amazing. You have to put the effort in. And if you think you're going to get the right first time, I'm sorry to be humble, you're not going to get it. You're going to bomb and fail, and that's just part of the process. You have to learn to accept it.
Yeah. Well, hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. Our guest today is somebody who has been on social media for a while, but like many of you, it's very tough to figure out, where do I get started? How do I get started? And as we enter this new age of being more present on platforms like LinkedIn, TikTok, Instagram, that is the biggest question, is how do I get set up on social media? How do I present myself, be my authentic self? And today I sit with someone who has started just like many of you have, didn't have much of a social media presence at first, and has really built a great, great following presence that helps a lot of people within this space. And that is Patrick Kelly from Zoom. But I can't thank you enough for joining, bud. So for those who don't know who you are, I'm sure they've seen you because, again, you're all over LinkedIn. But, you know, why don't you give a brief intro to really what you do right now at Zoom and briefly kind of your career. And then we'll jump into kind of really the question that people always have is really on social media.
Oh, well, thank you again. Humbled to even be asked, Chris. Patrick Kelly, I have the coolest title at Zoom. It's called Distinguished Architect, which I think I took the job just for that reason alone. They've asked me to be a manager and to get promoted. I'm like, nope, as long as I get to keep the title, I'll do anything you ask me to do. But I've been at Zoom for around 6 years. And prior to Zoom, I worked at Microsoft for 12 years. And prior to Microsoft, I worked at Citrix for a while, even worked at ESPN and ABC and Disney for a while.
You've done a really good job presenting yourself, being just a very authentic individual. And the starting question is, what made you realize to go this direction and to be more active on the LinkedIn platform and social media?
Selfishness, Chris. Really, it was purely 100%. I was selfish. And here's why I define it that way, is that when I first came to Zoom from Microsoft, it seemed like I was in sales calls competing against Microsoft like every day, right? And still am. But a lot of times customers wanted to see like a demo of what Zoom looks like inside of a Microsoft ecosystem. And I would do these live demos. I'd have to prepare for these demos and, you know, get my lab all set up. And these demos would take, you know, sometimes 10, 20, 30 minutes, right? And I got selfish with my time and saying, hey, why don't I just create a video of me doing this demo and then put it on LinkedIn? And then if a customer or AE had a question, I'm like, just go watch the demo. And then after that, you can have me come into a meeting. But I don't scale well with a global company. So, you know, my time is very limited. So if you can send a video to 1,000 customers, that beats Patrick joining 1,000 meetings and doing a live demo. So it was purely just selfishness what got me started.
Well, I've also noticed that you talk on topics outside of Zoom that are near and dear to you. So what was that process like for you? Was it just more natural because you were talking about Zoom? Because you do talk about the personal stuff too, and I find that very interesting because people can relate to you.
Every social media platform has a different strategy for success.
Yes.
Right? So for example, you are probably watch YouTube every day. You probably are subscribed to specific channels that talk about a specific thing. So let's say you were subscribed to a Fortnite channel on YouTube and 99.9% of all videos were Fortnite videos. And then all of a sudden this guy comes on there and starts talking about motorcycles. Like you're like, I'm watching this channel to learn about Fortnite. And as soon as he starts talking about motorcycles, some 18-year-old kid trying to get to the next level is going to go away, right? LinkedIn is not that way. LinkedIn is about people and connecting with people or brands or companies or individuals. And I think people certainly started following me initially because of I literally started with this with Microsoft Teams. Then I obviously transitioned to Zoom. And many of my videos, I would say probably 70%, are still talk about Zoom and Microsoft and UCaaS in general. But then I started, for some reason, I started doing just videos about just me, right? My journey to where I got in my career. I even kind of started talking sometimes about my family, not too much, started talking about motorcycles and trucks. And again, people are connecting with you as a person. And we as people don't talk about one thing 100% of the time.
Yeah.
We have a lot more topics to talk about than just one thing. And so as I've got through this journey and grown my followers, I find that they actually like that levity sometimes and like to have me talk about things other than just Zoom and or Microsoft.
You've been doing this for a while. I think more people are more comfortable nowadays because more and more people are doing it. So, hey, if they can do it, I can do it. Hence why we're doing this podcast. But you were an early adopter of doing that, which was kind of a risky move because, you know, you kept seeing those comments, right? This is not Facebook. Yeah. Or this is not this, right? So it was a taboo to kind of talk about personal things. So what made you go that direction? Because that was a risky move to a degree, right?
It was. Yeah, especially 5-6 years ago, right? This was at Microsoft. Yeah. And they had this professional level coach that would shadow you throughout the day. He would see how I was interacting with customers as well as colleagues. And here's what would happen. Behind my chair, I had a button-up Brooks Brothers shirt, like white Brooks Brothers shirt. And every time I would get on a call with a customer or another colleague, I would put on the shirt. And this was over like a black Metallica tattooed shirt, right? And so I would put the shirt on and I would be my professional self and somewhat reserved. And then I'd take the shirt off and I'd have a one-on-one with a buddy or something like that. And he was watching this whole thing throughout the day. At the end, and he's like, you know what you need to do differently is just be you. People are engaged with you and who you are as a person. You are not a Brooks Brothers white, you know, crispy shirt.
Yeah.
It took me a while before I just started feeling that I could be myself, whether it's at work or on camera or on social media. People will relate and be authentic. And then your followers will be there for you, not just because of something that you had said, right? So that was really what turned me around.
So I got a couple questions off of that. The first one is, you mentioned, you know, the tattoo nerd part. Is that where that was kind of manifested, is when your buddy gave you, and because you, when you have that on your LinkedIn, right? And now you've got that kind of whole icon too. Like if that shows up somewhere, people are going to know who that is. Oh, it's tattoo nerd guy, right? Yeah. So is that where that started? Kind of like that identity?
It even probably even started before that, because I would go to like a motorcycle rally or a car show. That's, I'm big into that sort of stuff. And, you know, I have a beard and I have tattoos everywhere and earrings. And then it would get around to like, hey, so what do you do for a living? I'm like, I'm a computer nerd. They're like, that doesn't track. 100%. I'm seeing.
Yeah, 100%.
Let's just embrace those two and combine those two loves, because I love both of them. And to just, because that's who I am as a person. So that's kind of where tattooed nerd evolved.
That's cool. So now people know where that started, which is great. For me, I had a fear of how I was going to be perceived. And it was tough. I had to talk to a few people about, you know, how do you deal with this? I want to show up and provide value. The last thing I want to provide is division or, you know, hate. And, you know, for you, one, did you have any fears shifting to be your authentic self? Maybe it was natural for you. And if there was a fear, what were you doing to kind of help yourself, like an athlete, right? To trigger yourself and be like, this is who I need to be.
Yeah, there was fears of being accepted, right? Because I had brought myself up to think along, again, this corporate bot strategy way of, I need to be the person that is around me, because everyone looks like a mirror of each other. And they're probably comfortable being that because everyone around them, like they're part of the herd. It takes balls to get out of the herd.
Yes.
Right. It takes a little bit of courage to leave the pack, and you don't have to be this complete rebel, right? And start a whole new revolution, but you can just be 100%. As long as you're having impact and contributing and helping, the rest doesn't matter. Right. And there was a fear that, hey, I'm going to start showing my tattoos. What if I'm judged by a CAO because I have tattoos?
100%.
And you know what? I'm not saying it's ever happened. I guarantee you it's happened. But that goes away once you start talking and using empathy and listening and discovering what their problems are and then helping them with solutions. They don't give a shit if you have tattoos. They truly don't care.
Yeah. As I tell everybody, if you're going to post for the first time, how you set up your LinkedIn, it's like anything in life that you do, you're new to it. And a lot of people have this expectation that they're going to get it right off the bat. So that's, I'm curious, when did you become fully comfortable, that muscle, like now, because now you're completely, you could tell you're vibing, you're completely, and people interact with you all the time, the comments, which is really funny. So for you, when did that start to happen, of when you felt very comfortable?
Oh, well, Chris, I don't know. I still have imposter syndrome to this day. I still get nervous when I have to do a keynote, or if it's a big customer, I'm like, whew, I will still get nervous. My wife will hug me after a meeting. She's like, why are you sweating? I'm like, because I'm in it for 30 minutes to an hour. And then after the hour, you're like, whoa, God, it's just reps. It's that 10,000 hours of practice that we talk about in Freakonomics, right? Is that, hey, you just don't wake up becoming amazing. You have to put the effort in. And if you think you're going to get the right first time, I'm sorry to be humble, you're not going to get it. You're going to bomb and fail. And that's just part of the process. You have to learn to accept
it. Yeah. And it's funny that you say that. And I think that goes back to authenticity, is people, and I saw this, is I was trying to be too perfect.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
the imperfect is actually what people do want to see.
Sure.
And so we already talked about what made you start posting, which was more on the educating the Zoom side. How did you decide what else to share?
That's a gray area. That is not a zero or a one by any means. I try to keep it this loose kind of ratio. Like 70 to 80% is going to be business acumen stuff, whether it's Zoom, Microsoft. And then that 10, 15%, I like to do just business development stuff, like how to be a better presenter, right? How to look better on camera. What's your lighting like? What's your video like? What's your audio like? So, because I love AV, I love changing my setup all the time. So I'll share a little bit of that. And then probably 10, 15% is just me riffing on what I did this week that has nothing to do with work at all. It's just another way for them to connect with me on kind of three different levels. So that's kind of that's a loose ratio that I play in my life.
What are the benefits that you've seen from doing this, not just in business, but personal? I mean, obviously I want to go the business route first. Do you have, you know, what types of people were taking notice? Was this helping you out in your professional career at Zoom? All those things. How is that benefiting? Because I think that's where people are trying to figure out, how will this benefit me also to a degree? Not that that's the reason you should do it, but they're obviously doing it for a reason.
There's a reason. Yeah, there are absolutely reasons to do it. And one, it's to market yourself.
Yeah.
Number one, you're the only person that can market you, because you know yourself best. And if you're not doing it on social media, you're not getting noticed. And so what happened when I started posting a lot inside of the Microsoft as well as Zoom context is I started having people within my organization recognize who I was. Because sometimes, especially in big organizations, you're just a cog in a wheel, my friend. You're Microsoft, there's 160,000 other of you people.
And you're all remote at times. You're never going to see each other ever. So that's a way to kind of,
zero.
Yeah.
And then people outside my team are like, hey, Patrick, can I share that your video? I'm like, the whole reason I did it is so you can share it. You know, absolutely. And then, of course, it just kind of organically grows until a point where I'll get on a call with a customer and they're like, oh my God, I watch you on LinkedIn all the time. You're
a celebrity. Yeah, 100%, 100%.
It happens. Yeah. And then you have this immediate rapport with a customer that he knows you're trying to sell to him. You know you're trying to sell something to him, but he now feels like he knows you because he's seen you over the course of months and or years. And so there's this connection that you just can't be built up on a cold call or just on the first meeting. It can't be done. And that the whole thing has been set up because all the work and effort I put into social media and putting myself out there so it can make that connection.
Have you seen anything come of that through for your career? Because you're so comfortable and you're talking about great things, has this also helped you in your career propel you? And I ask that because I think that's also another way to help your career, because to your point, people buy from people. People promote people too as well, they think could do that, fit the direction they're trying to go, because it is another human making that decision. It's not a robot. And like, people buy from people. Same thing with promotions or getting elsewhere. They start to take notice of what you're doing. Have you seen opportunities come your way because of that?
Oh, 100%. When I got hired 6 years ago at Zoom, the criteria was, hey, you need to post a lot of LinkedIn videos and YouTube videos and do a lot of social media. That wasn't even on the radar.
Please clarify that, because I think some people think like, man, he's getting paid to post and all this stuff. I'm dead serious. No post.
Nope.
This was not them coming to you. You were like, no, I just like talking about this stuff. We're just going to riff.
I did. Yeah. You're absolutely correct. Yeah. But that's created this ability to now, social media is literally like a walking resume for me now. Right. And I haven't looked for a job in 6 years, but if and when I ever do, guess what? There's a walking track of what I've done over the last 6 years that a hiring manager or a company can just go back and get to know me as a person. I'm not just a resume piece of paper anymore or a document that you got emailed to me. No, this is Patrick Kelly. I know exactly how he looks and how he talks, his persona, what his loves and likes are. It has opened up opportunities to expand beyond just my job, where companies have reached out. They're like, hey, we're doing a sales kickoff meeting. That might be partners of Zoom. Would you do that for us? And so it's opened up this ability to have to be able to go on the road and do presentations for companies that they would have never known who I was if I wasn't on social media, right? And so, of course, it increases the social brand, it increases my prominence. But the cool thing is, it's because that I put the effort in initially and still do. So it brings those opportunities that I enjoy doing, and I can pick and choose whatever I want now.
Is there a thing that how you want to be viewed on LinkedIn? Is there a strategy to your madness of like, hey, this is how I want to set up my picture, my background? Because that's where I think people get lost. They don't have that stuff. And to me, I think that's like your website. It's your personal brand.
Yeah. I'm going to answer that question, but I'll preface it by saying it doesn't matter.
Okay.
The quality of your video doesn't matter nearly as much as you might think it does. This is all you need to get started. This is it. This is all you need to get started. People are going to watch you for your content, not because you're like, oh, hey, Patrick has an 8K camera. I'm going to watch the full hour of his video, even if it sucks. Nope, that's not going to happen.
People can consume content different ways, right? Images, written posts. Like, I do a lot written. I do videos too. I mix it up, you know.
Sure.
Did you start via video, or did you start written, or did it just kind of all, like, how did you leverage social media from that perspective?
I took a reverse route. I started doing demos of Microsoft Teams when I worked for Microsoft, and there was no video per se. It was just screen recordings with no even voiceovers. It was just screen recordings of me showing different features on just recording my screen. And I would post those, and then I would, you know, write a context of the text for what I was demoing. But then people started saying, hey, can you demo this? And it was harder to get to a point where I could show them on the screen. I had to start doing voiceovers to say, hey, here's what I'm doing and why. And then it kind of morphed into a little picture of me in the corner, and then a little video of me in the corner. And then I just kind of went along the way of just, you know what, LinkedIn too, right? It's not just all video. It's not just all text. It's not just all carousels or all infographics. There's a combination of what you have to put in there. And so a lot of times today when I post, I put a ton of effort into just the text part of my LinkedIn. Copywriting is a lost art. Write the whole post yourself, then post it in ChatGPT. Make this post better.
Yeah.
That's how you use the tool.
Do you know what the strategy is to posting written content? Because that is something that has come up. Like, do I just put one paragraph? Do I do it in spaces?
I have figured out what works for me. I'm not saying it's going to work for you, just what works for me and got me to where I am. There's a LinkedIn way to write written stuff for your LinkedIn post. And it's a real typical strategy that everyone can do. It's nothing. It's not rocket science. In order to gain followers or impressions or whatever your motivation is, it's just like a story. It's just like a movie. Like, what's the first part of a movie is you got to get hooked into why you're going to watch the rest of the movie. Right. Yeah. Same thing with your LinkedIn post. State a hook, and i.e. that could be a problem that you've experienced in your professional life today, right? Or a problem that you're seeing in recruiting today, or any problem. Every company, every job, every department has a problem. state what it is, because that way I can immediately relate with you. To you,
so that would be, for example, that would be like in my world, you know, here are the five problems that companies miss when recruiting talent. Boom, boom, boom.
That's a hook. I'm hooked, right? The middle part of your text, of your post, is stating what those problems are and how to solve them. The problem you brought up, now show me what that problem is and how you solved it. And then three, a call to action, i.e. get some engagement with your audience. Hey, do you see this problem happening in your life? What would you have done differently? Ask them a question. That increases engagement. That increases the likelihood. That increases your exposure, because LinkedIn sees that. Like, oh, Patrick had 1,000 comments on his post. This is probably pretty popular. We should send this away. All of a sudden, this post has 2 million views.
Yeah.
Right? Because of the way you wrote.
Closing this up, whether they're fresh out of college or they've been a professional for 30 plus years, for those who are kind of in that just stuck mentally, what would you encourage them, advise them to some steps?
You're going to have to accept some failure. That's just going to have to happen. And when I see failure, I don't mean failure in regards to, oh my God, it's going to bomb and people are going to hate it and you. No, I look at videos I did 6 years ago, Chris, and I'm like, I'm embarrassed that I
am. No engagements too, probably, right? Because you're not going to get traction right away.
No, absolutely not. So one, you're going to have to know that if you started today, like this, today was your very first post, don't expect it to go viral. You're having expectations that are not realistic. Just expect that you're going to learn from the process. Just be proud of what you just did today. Like, you took a step, a giant step. You overcame some hurdles in your mind, some obstacles of fear and anxiety. And that is actually, that's success. That you've literally got out of that little box that you were in thinking, hey, when do I do this? You do it today. I'm waiting for the right time. Nope, you're not. Today's the
right time. Yeah.
That's all you gotta know. That's it. You might have the talent that you haven't even nurtured.
Yeah.
And you're not gonna know that until you try and start. There's no right way to do it, but I can tell you the wrong way to do it, and that's not doing anything.
Now, as far as a plan of attack, or just keep it baby steps and just, hey, just post once or twice? Or is there like a, hey, I would, now that we've been doing this for a while, like, I have a plan of attack for how frequently I'm going to post, what I'm going to talk about? Because my biggest thing is, I would tell anybody, don't just post to post. Like, I'm just not. If another influencer wants to argue with me, then that's fine. I just, whatever I can add value to, whether it's the work side of it or something that I think would be a story of me personally that maybe could help somebody else out. So is there a game plan now that you've been doing this for a while that you would say, hey, I didn't do this, I would recommend this?
Yeah. Yeah. It's one, it's consistency. You get started and you're super motivated, right? And you're like, I posted every day this week for 5 straight days. I posted Monday through Friday. And then the week after that, I was like at 3. Then the week after that, it was 1, right? And then the week 4, I got motivated again and the 5 more came out. Nope. No, you cannot do that, right? Because you are being completely inconsistent. The algorithm has no idea what you're doing, when you're going to post, when to promote your stuff. Your followers have no idea when they expect content. If I was starting out, I would try at least 2 posts a week for a matter of months. And those 2 posts, you better put some thought into. If you can't think of anything that it's good, don't post. Like, don't post crap. Post something that resonates with you. And it could literally be anything. Post something that has impact. And you don't have to know it has impact to the world. You just know it had an impact on you.
Yeah.
That's being your authentic self. I can have impact. And then again, state the problem, state how you solved it, or maybe didn't even solve it, and ask for input and questions and be your authentic self. Don't go to ChatGPT and say, hey, I need 5 ideas for LinkedIn today.
Yes. Right? A lot of people do that.
It'll spit out 5 ideas. Do they matter to you? And that's the key. They have to matter to you, because your followers are going to follow you.
We're coming up on the New Year's. Everybody goes to the gym for the first month and then ghosts, right? You can't do that in posting as well. I'll speak to that. You have to be very disciplined and consistent. I would definitely encourage anybody to have a plan, or like to get a bulk of content up front, so you're not scrambling to stay consistent. You've got enough stuff giving you a cushion. I don't know if that's something you'd recommend. That's stuff that I do though.
I actually have on my phone, In the note option, there's a
folder. Yeah. I do too.
Linked an idea. It might be in there for months before I even act on it, but at least it's an idea and I can go back. Right. And then, so I'm constantly in my phone coming up with ideas for videos as well as posts. Don't overthink it. Don't overanalyze it. Don't try to be perfect. Just get it good and get it out.
Yeah. No, I think that's great, man. And this has been super helpful. I learned some things on this. So thank you very much for taking time. This is awesome.
Anytime, my friend.
Awesome.